This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Battle lines are being drawn over portions of Governor Walker's proposed budget for the coming 2 years. A lot of attention has been paid to its potential impact on higher and K-12 education and state parks. But there are many other programs that are not known as well, but stand to be dramatically shaped by the measure. One is a program called IRIS, which serves adults with long-term care needs. It's administered by the state's Department of Health Services, but would be eliminated under the current version of the budget bill. And despite assurances that care for these adults would continue, the elimination of IRIS worries some people. It spurred the creation of a grassroots group called Save IRIS. Among its members are Julie Burrish of Brookfield, whose 19-year-old daughter has Down syndrome, and Nancy Gapinski of Glendale, who has an autistic son who is not yet old enough to be served by IRIS. Burrish and Gapinski join us in the studio this morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So excited to be here.
Let's start with some definitions here. What is IRIS set up to accomplish, and why is it important to you that it's structured the way it is?
Well, IRIS is, well, for one, it's an acronym, and it stands for Include, Respect, I Self-Direct. And it's really based on a social model that people with disabilities and older people that are frail, end of life, that they can determine exactly the supports they need and hire people that they feel are safe and stable and that they feel comfortable with, because a lot of the care they get is very intimate in nature, and they often have to allow people into their homes and into just private settings. And it's really based on integrating them into the community too.
Well, and is this similar in a way to the dynamic about everything that has to do with healthcare? There's always a lot of concern about if change takes place, will people be able to access the people, you know, whether it's their own primary care provider or in this case the people that help them on a day to day basis.
Yes, that's one of our big concerns about all this. Recently, with the governor's budget coming out, there's more questions than there are answers. It eliminates the IRIS program, which we value greatly, and it also is making major changes to the family care program, which is the managed care model for community integration through the Medicaid waiver programs. So we are very worried because we don't know if people will have access to the doctors that they're used to, or if they'll be able to still hire the people that they currently employ. We're concerned about our friends who are up in the rural areas who don't have as many providers to choose from. And so having neighbors to employ has made a huge difference for them in terms of being able to have consistent care.
So if I understand what you're saying correctly, the services provided by IRIS would be folded in under family care, but the question remains whether family care would provide them in the same way, and the answers either aren't known yet or they certainly haven't been disseminated to the degree that you're able to know for sure.
That's exactly correct. IRIS would be eliminated and people would be moved into family care, but family care is going to fundamentally change, and it's going to, according to what is proposed, it looks like it's going to actually become an insurance, an HMO, and it will be managed by probably a very large national HMO, and will do away with the 8 managed care organizations that are nonprofit that currently provide the services. And we have no idea what is going to be entailed. It's a medical model, and that isn't really always what's appropriate when you're dealing with people with cognitive disabilities, especially because they're not sick. They just need support to be productive and to live their lives.
Has IRIS always worked well for you?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. You know, originally when it started, they only expected it to really have a few hundred people, maybe up to 1,000 people. And people are finding that self-direction really provides them with so much freedom to get what they want, when they need it. And, you know, a lot of difficult life choices, like transportation is very difficult. But boy, if you can hire a neighbor to drive you to work, that's so much easier than dealing with a transportation company. And yes, people are finding that it's much more cost effective and that you get exactly what you need when you need it. And it helps me create the life that I want for my daughter, and that she gets to create the life that she wants for herself.
it's a unique model that really gives the person more control over their own lives. And we just don't see how that would fit under a managed care umbrella of a giant HMO.
Well, I guess the reason I ask is, you know, people might think that, hey, this is a large-scale program and there are probably some inefficiencies. And one thing that sometimes happens when HMOs come in is that they do away with redundancies and things sometimes work better. But you say you don't really have the answers to know whether it would work better.
Well, this has been a work in progress. Family Care and IRIS have been a community, kind of a coalition. The stakeholders have been brought to the table. We've been developing this plan. It started out as pilots, and the pilots, as the pilots became successful, they expanded to – that's why it's not in every county yet. We're expecting a big expansion into the seven Northeast counties because it works. It saves money. Just expanding to these seven new counties is going to save $14 million in the first year because it's so much more effective than working just through the Medicaid system. And that's what's so hard about this decision is that it seems like it's been made. It seems like nobody knew about it. The stakeholders weren't involved. Even Kitty Rhodes, who is the secretary of the Department of Health Services, said in her journal article that she didn't know about it until the proposed budget came out, and that was a month ago. But yet, there's been lots of conversations about what the new plan is going to be, and I just would like to know who's been having those conversations and what are the conversations. And to tell you that the people who are involved and who have always been at the table weren't at the table for those. And that's what I find as a mother so distressing, that this is a plan that I've been using to – my daughter's 19, so we're new to it. But we're working on a five-year plan for her. And we're working on what do we – our five-year goal is for her to live independently. And we're breaking it up into small pieces. What do we need to accomplish this year so that she can build on that next year? So eventually, in 5 years, she's going to be able to live independently in the community, work full-time, have a rich life, just like anyone else. But she's always, because of her cognitive disabilities, always going to need some long-term support. And I want to be the one working with her to coordinate that. And I don't charge for my services. All my case management is completely free. And that's the one thing with IRIS is when you hire people that you know, you get so much more than what you pay for because these people have relationships with the person they're taking care of. And you get a higher level of care at a much lower rate, and you get a lot of unpaid natural support.
What are you hearing from lawmakers, if anything?
This has really taken, I think, a lot of people by shock, including legislators, I believe. We've been calling legislators, and they don't seem to know yet either what the details of the plan would be. And so they're not able to give us the answers that we need to feel reassured that the services that people have now are going to be there the way they have them now.
And the thing that I'm really hoping, because, you know, like I said, Nancy and I, and we've started this grassroots effort, and we have a Facebook page, and we have a website. And, I mean, we just started this because we found out about it. We have a group of friends, you know, that we Facebook, and we put it out there, and we've grown. We have our Save IRIS Facebook page and our SaveIRIS.org website. And on our Facebook page, we have 3,000 people following us. Over 800 people have taken surveys. People are shocked. People don't know why this is happening or, you know, what's going on.
And they're scared. They don't know what to expect. And so the response, like with the surveys, we're hearing from people who have maybe a son or daughter who is nonverbal and they've been self-injurious in the past and they've got supports in place now that are so consistent and with people that they know so well and trust that incidents of self-injury have gone down. We're hearing from people who are caring for frail elders and they're finding that the supports that they can put in place have made it so they can continue to work and they haven't lost their homes. So those types of stories we're just hearing again and again. So we're nervous.
Yeah, and people want choice. They want to take care of their loved ones. They want their loved ones to be cared for in a way that integrates them into the community, that people they know and love or care about or feel safe with are caring for them. And, you know, when you work for one, changing to from a social model to a medical model, it one assumes the person is sick, you know, and then two, for example, if I need transportation or if Catherine, my daughter, needs transportation, you know, I would have to call in, get it approved, and I'd say, okay, we need this, these number of trips. We don't know who's going to show up, you know, it's, and we don't, you know, it's so she could have a different person every time. And these are vulnerable people. Do I feel comfortable having her just, you know, get on board with somebody she doesn't know? I feel much more comfortable knowing that somebody that knows her is going to be transporting her or providing very intimate care. And it's cost effective. That's the thing. There is in this whole plan, this proposal, this budget proposal, there is absolutely no cost savings laid out. There's, I don't understand why this is happening. And as far as the legislators go, they're surprised. But I'm hoping that this doesn't become a politicized thing, that all of a sudden it's going to be, you know, just down party lines, that because we have this is the governor, that everybody, you know, in his party is going to go with this change. But what we're hearing is that senators and assembly people on both sides are very concerned. Very concerned, and they know this is a good program and that it works and it's cost effective. It saves the state money.
One of the reasons that it's cost effective is people truly are just getting the supports that they actually need. In other models, sometimes there's that layer of case management and nursing, and with IRIS, that isn't there. And they are getting, in essence, free case management from loved ones. And so we're kind of wondering, why wouldn't we want to expand upon that? We feel like IRIS should be celebrated, not eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like as the debate over this is going to go on that everything that you do as far as IRIS goes is going to be under a microscope?
I do. I think it kind of is. And I know that there is some positioning going on. And I know that right now what's coming up, people don't completely understand. Right now, there's everything in the media says that people are given a certain dollar amount every month. And I think that people conjure that, okay, these people in IRIS get a check every month for X amount of dollars to take care of their needs. And that's so not what happens. I think that there are some people that think that there's a lot of fraud that goes on. And actually, all the research I've done shows that the level of fraud in IRIS is lower than any other long-term care support program out there. But what happens is we do have case management. We have an IRIS consultant who helps us come up with a plan, and the plan is based on the person's abilities and moving them into the most independence as possible. Everything has to be approved. There is not one penny that can come out of that budget or a check that can be written that isn't completely approved, and I have no authority over the budget. And if we want to do something different, we have to go through quite a lengthy process to change the plan. So it's very well regulated. And the whole thing that that's one of the misconceptions is I think people think that, you know, this is just a program where people get a check and they can do whatever they want to. And it's so far from the truth.
Now, Julie, you mentioned the 5-year plan mm-hmm. that you are putting together with your daughter, and one of those areas that you were talking about is her ability to hold down a full-time job. Where does work fit in what IRIS does?
Well, what IRIS does is it provides long-term supports, and should she need support at work, we can be very, very creative with writing into her plan supports at work, whether that means something that she needs to support all the time or a couple times a month someone needs to check into. I mean, IRIS is able to provide support so people can be as independent at work as possible, and that just fits in so well with the governor's Better Bottom Line, which was such a wonderful initiative, and it is. And I just see that growing. And through IRIS and integrated employment, people with disabilities can become such productive taxpayers and citizens.
Well, now you mentioned you've not really necessarily heard any consistent message from lawmakers at this point. What do you hope comes out of this? Is it simply to reject that part of the budget?
Ideally, they would just leave family care and IRIS alone and continue to let them be and do the good work that they're doing. But that being said, we just feel like it should not be in the budget at all. It's so significant for so many people. There's going to be massive job loss. People are very worried. They don't know what their supports are going to look like. It should not be in the budget.
Yeah, our ask is to please remove the changes to long-term care from this budget, bring the stakeholders to the table, and let us help determine what changes are made. That's just critical.
Julie Burrish, Nancy Gapinski, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Nancy Gapinski of Glendale and Julie Burrish of Brookfield are members of a group called Save IRIS, a state-supported long-term care program for adults that would be eliminated as part of the governor's proposed state budget for the coming biennium. We'll take a break now and then get some rock-solid information about what's under Wisconsin's soil, rocks, that is. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.